3
K-pop podcast, and we were having chit chat earlier about JYP's show problem.
It could be worse. Like, there could be more awful things that he tweets, and it's a good thing that in English anyway he keeps most of his personal beliefs to himself and he doesn't attack people on Twitter, unlike celebrities from other countries that don't seem to realize that you have PR people for a reason, and it's not good to make their jobs hard.
Hey, you do have that in K-pop as well, right? Like someone named Yvonne from Super Junior.
Wait, what did he do?
Remember what he used to do? Like, I think he's going to shut up now. What was that? We had an episode about that. Celebrities on Twitter.
We did.
Yeah.
He said
his personal beliefs about, is it Dokdo?
It was probably about Dokdo.
Yeah. It was probably Dokdo, and he said something about homosexuals as well quite a while ago.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, related to that, it is kind of interesting that there aren't going to be any Korean acts at Kohaku this year.
Yeah.
It's interesting in that, like, this has been a year of increased tensions over Dokdo, and also it's kind of been a year where they're approaching peak saturation of K-pop acts, and then like Kohaku has traditionally been a thing to celebrate the Japanese music industry at the end of the year. So like, how much of that do you really want to dedicate to also celebrating for foreign artists? Like, how much is your industry worldwide, I guess would be the right word, or multicultural or international? Like, how much of this celebration for yourselves are you bringing other people in? And I'm trying to remember of the times when I used to be into J-pop and I watched Kohaku. Like,
that was a long time ago, right?
I think it was like 6-7 years ago, but like,
wow.
Did I ever see a non-Japanese artist is what I'm trying to remember, and I couldn't tell you. And when I say non-Japanese artist, I mean, like, because there are some people
like Korean
who promote exclusively in Japan that aren't Japanese or aren't ethnically Japanese anyway. But, you know, their whole career has been in Japan, so as far as that goes, they're more or less a Japanese artist. Like, even if you were an American citizen, but you've only ever released music in Japan in Japanese, then I wouldn't say that you weren't a Japanese.
For example, Crystal K, right?
Exactly, that's the main person I was thinking of. Mm-hmm. is American and
K.
Is American and Korean. So, like, ethnically, obviously, she's not Japanese, but she grew up in Japan, speaks Japanese, and all of her music has been released in Japan under Japanese record labels. So, like, no one would say that she's not a J-pop artist, whereas we can't really make that argument for the people that are being snubbed by this action, which is primarily Kara, Sunishide,
Dongbaeshinki,
Big Bang, all of those people. And Dongbaeshinki is weird, because, like, they're kind of huge, or they were pretty huge.
Yeah.
So
look, the reason. By the way, first of all, when you say if you were trying to remember if there were artists of different ethnicity in Kohaku, if I remember it right, reading up on Kohaku history, but this was a long time ago. I didn't brush up on my Kohaku history, but I read before that maybe in the 80s or 90s, they featured, if someone became really popular in Japan, they would usually invite that person to Kohaku. I remember they invited a Taiwanese singer before, Teresa something. That was a very long time ago. And they even had someone from the Philippines back in the 80s. But
cool.
it's an exception. It's not norm, though. Not like what happened last year, right? When we had all these K-pop acts in Kohaku, like everyone expected it.
Yeah.
But this year, because of the rising tension, or so we think, because NHK said that it wasn't because of anything political. Would you believe that?
No, I wouldn't. And then when you consider like the kind of network NHK is, no, I wouldn't believe that. Like,
it's a network, yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't think that it's not political. I don't want to believe that as a network they're this petty. Like, I don't want to think that that's the only contributing factor. Maybe
it isn't.
It's a multitude of things, and it's probably to do with, look, we know some of the downsides of K-pop going into Japan. The fact that they don't necessarily have as much respect for the culture and the language and the people as they should. The fact that they're basically, for the most part, remaking Korean songs into Japanese, not English. It's one of the laziest things you can do, and it's kind of dishonest.
They're just in it for the money, like below.
It's clearly, you know, you're exploiting the fact that this is the second largest music industry in the world. So, I mean, it may just be something as simple as being insulted and wanting to tell these people, look, you can't take for granted that this is going to happen for you. And,
yep.
I mean, Korea has, obviously, Kohaku is much bigger than any of the network end of year shows they do.
Mm-hmm.
But Korea has 3 shows they do on back-to-back-to-back nights. For, and God knows I can never remember which order they're in, but for NBC, KBS, and SBS, they have 3 big shows to close out the year. Go to your own shows. Like, make those the most awesome things they can be. And
you see, this is the thing, though. Do you think, okay, I'm just going to say this. I'm just going to be nice and not try to fluff anyone's feathers here. But I think Kohaku means a lot more if you are
definitely.
A K-pop artist. Than any of the year-end shows, because, hey, anyone can just perform on these year-end shows if you've been actively promoting for the year, right? Almost anyone and everyone in K-pop would perform there, but if you know that you are included in the lineup for Kohaku, then that's going to be something huge for you.
No,
because
I know.
It means you've sort of got it made in Japan, right?
Just the fact that you have to be invited to perform at Kohaku shows that it's a much bigger deal than any of these end-of-year shows. I mean, obviously, like, the producers will have an idea of which artists they want to perform, which special stages and stuff they want them to do.
Mm-hmm.
But, obviously, Kohaku is a much bigger deal. Like, I'm not saying, like, you should just, if you had the opportunity to perform at Kohaku, just snub it. No, what I'm saying is
that's crazy.
You should work on your own industry. I mean, clearly everyone wants some part of K-pop. So you have to then elevate what you're doing in your own country to the next level. Because not everybody's going to be able to leave. So the people that are still there should be leaving behind something like Kohaku. Like, where everybody stops what they're doing and pays attention. Like, now, with the end of year shows, I'm at the point where, okay, if there's enough noise on Twitter about how great something was, I might go and watch that part
mm-hmm.
of the show. But I'm not at a point anymore where, like, I will wake up early in the morning and watch the whole thing.
Really?
No, I haven't done that in years. So, I don't really feel like I'm missing anything, and that, like, that to itself speaks to me about, yeah, the production values are really high, but nothing ever really feels like it's important.
Yep, that's so true. I haven't really watched any of the year-end shows live. No, correct me. Let me correct myself. Correct. I'm not going to deny this. I think I may have watched a live broadcast this year, 2012.
Yeah, I watched one of them.
I think.
Because I think it was the NBC one, because they had the We Got Married couples hosting. I think that's the one I watched live last year.
I remember I watched something live, but I cannot remember for the life of me which network it was. Maybe it was KBS. Probably KBS.
KBS is always my least favorite.
Well, I don't know, because I have it on TV, so I guess that's going to be what I'm going to watch. Maybe it's one of those shows, NBC or SBS. I cannot remember. I must have streamed it. But usually what I do is I watch it live, because sometimes it just falls on New Year's Eve. One of the shows would fall on New Year's Eve. I would watch it. Yeah. But the last time I really watched something like that when I was really concentrating on watching was in 2008. When DBS Cape performed, I think, and was it the Wonder Bang season back then?
Yeah, that was the Wonder Bang year.
Yeah. Yep, 2008. Okay, that was a long time ago. Wow.
It's like, we might as well just tag that into everything. Today is obviously not going to be as structured of a show.
Yeah.
We're just going to be, because the last time we tried a structured show, I took forever to edit it.
We're not going to structure the show today. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to go through the sites and say, hey, look, something interests me, and I'm just going to mention it. Okay.
But I think we all remember Wonder Bang season. It was 2008. We were young. We didn't know any better. Some of us had heard of Wonder Girls and Big Bang, but a lot of people hadn't. And then they both pretty much came out with their iconic hit songs at the same time. Wonder Girls after a member shuffle really came back with Tell Me, and Big Bang, you know, after the not quite success of their more hip hop era, came out with
Lies.
Haru Haru was like the third song.
Yeah, it was Lies.
After Last Farewell. And, you know, the two songs gained a lot of traction. Like, it was weird. It was a time when two hit songs could coexist. Like, now that's impossible. But
2008 was a great year, wasn't it? In terms of music.
It was a good year. I don't remember it enough to remember if it was great. But, you know,
it was great because that was DBSK's Marotic era as well.
Anyway, so the two groups, because they were close in age, they were paired up together. They did a bunch of special stages. I think KBS? I think KBS deserves the glory for putting them together in the first place. Mm-hmm. And, like, every end-of-year show had a stage for what was later termed as Wonder Bang. Then, after 2008 ended, things went in a completely, almost opposite direction from 2009. Mm-hmm. Wonder Girls had Nobody, which was a tremendous, colossal hit. Which, if it had come out this year, it would probably have done a ridiculous amount of YouTube views, sales on iTunes, all that stuff. Now that, you know, the world is more receptive of K-pop,
yep.
3 years seems like a huge amount of time. But I don't remember what song Big Bang came out with that year.
Haru Haru, wasn't it?
Yes, probably. So, obviously they were doing completely divergent styles, but they both did the same thing. Towards the end of the year, Wonder Girls left for the United States, and Big Bang left from Japan, and we never heard from either group again for like 2 years. And while Big Bang, I think it's primarily because they're a boy group, their impact has never really gone away. Because, you know, one of them would pop in from time to time to drop a solo album and then disappear.
Yep.
And that kept them going. Wonder Girls tried to do the same thing, but their releases were a lot more spaced out.
and there was a huge amount of girl groups debuting in between 2009 when they
2009,
left.
2009,
yep. And 2011, which was really when they had their first, I'll call it serious Korean
and
release.
And also, don't forget 2009 was when G came out by Girls' Generation.
It's true. Girls' Generation became, in the absence of Wonder Girls, became a huge monster success. Somewhat of a juggernaut that's not really competed with by any group. I think 21 probably comes the closest, but they're really far off in terms of popularity. Mm-hmm. And what we had really was Wonder Girls' star unfortunately began to fade. They had another member shuffle. Sunmi left. Lim joined instead of being in Miss A. Then Min went in Miss A. Then Miss A debuted in 2010. And they were a success straight out of the gate. So they really filled the spot for the JYP girl group. And we've talked before about how Wonder Girls haven't had instant success. How they're attempting to sort of do things the right way, but obviously it's taking a long time.
Yeah.
And then we, was it earlier this year? I can't remember if it was earlier this year or late last year. But you know, you heard that Sunye had a boyfriend, who of course is the leader of Wonder Girls, the person the whole group was made for, who toiled in obscurity for 8 years as a JYP trainee, or the only person who I think up until last year was a trainee longer was Jo Kwon. And, you know, 2AM, Wonder Girls, Big Bang, all the same situation. All trainees for super long time, and all had groups formed around them, and all were on a reality show. So
2AM had a reality show?
Hot-Blooded Men. It was 2AM and 2PM together, and a couple other guys. And they were all, like, auditioning, basically to get put in one group or the other. So, yeah, they all debuted on a reality show.
I've seen Big Bang's reality show, but I haven't seen 2AM's and Wonder Girls', so.
I think I saw, like, half an episode of Hot-Blooded Men. They were, like, in the shower or something. So, anyway.
Okay.
Go ahead. It came out that she had a boyfriend, and, you know, she extolled the virtues of this guy. He's ethnic Korean, but he's from Canada. Mm-hmm. And they met in Haiti post-earthquake when they were helping out with cholera victims and whatnot, which is, you know, a nice story. They're
That's
both
very noble. Yeah, sweet. You know, love in the time of cholera or something. Isn't that a book?
I don't know. They're both, you know, well into Christianity and all that. And
missionary work.
It's wonderful that you meet someone who not only shares your interests, but they also share your religious views. That's very important. So, or at least, you know, to be understanding about each other's views. So they seem to have a pretty good relationship. We don't hear about it for a while. Then, a couple days ago, we hear that not only are they engaged, but they're getting married. Basically amounts to next month, because it's pretty much December now.
But time out, rewind. Because before they announced that she was getting married, about 2 months ago, or a month ago, yeah, I think it was just 2 months ago, that there was a rumor that said that Sunye was getting married, and they shot it down. They said no.
You probably didn't know about it yet.
No, we weren't getting married. Like, no, we're not getting married yet. I think that's the word there, yet. Mm-hmm. If I were to get married, I would let you guys know. I would be the first to let you know. And just a few days ago, we got the news.
Yep, she kept her word. She let us know.
She did. At least she did. Yeah.
Because, I mean, you'd hate to find out, like, the way you find out about every... At least they gave us, like, a month.
They're getting married next month. Yay.
Because most relationships you hear about, like, the week before the wedding, when their wedding pictures come out, it's like, oh, yeah, these people were dating for 5 years and now they're getting married. Sorry, international fans didn't know. So, of course, you know, the usual gloom and doom, hellfire and brimstone people came out. It's like, oh, this is the end of Wonder Girls. And it probably is. I mean,
it is. I think it is.
It's not the end in any malicious sort of way. I don't think... and it seems like the other girls are very happy for her and all that. And, you know, as happy as you can be when someone else who's very close to you has been in a successful and happy relationship while you're doing whatever it is that you're doing. And people were just, they seem to have been responding as though, like, she did this to destroy Wonder Girls. And it's like, why?
So.
Why with everything that you've known of this young woman since 2006, with everything that you've known of her for the past 6 years, why would you believe that she's that kind of person? Like, obviously...
Hey, because obviously if she's getting married, she's going to leave the group and the group has to disband or go on permanent hiatus or just disappear off the face of the earth.
They're on temporary hiatus. I think they won't be able to disband because if they signed a deal with anybody, which it seems like they have, it has to have the five members that possibly signed the deal. So I don't think they'll just torpedo everything yet. This is my personal view because I want them to be a success. I've been following them since 2006, basically. So I want them to be better than they are, and I don't want them to be remembered for, you know, the group that tried but failed and then Psy got popular. That's not what I want for them. I want them to achieve everything they're going for.
Yeah.
And I don't necessarily think, especially in the United States, if they stay attempting the American market, I don't think that's an obstacle. Like, a 24-year-old being married isn't an obstacle.
No, not in the States, no.
To your success. And especially, I don't even think it should be an obstacle in Korea, because I feel like they have a much bigger female fan base than they do a male fan base.
No, but the thing is that she's an idol, and you know how they have preconceived notions of what idols are supposed to do and what idols are supposed to be like. You know how it is, right?
Anybody should be an idol. It's her. Like, she persevered.
She's like an angel. You know?
She persevered.
She's like so unreal.
Through all the ridiculous stuff her life threw at her. Became a singer. Sat in JYP's company for 8 years. Doing whatever. I don't know. It seems like they do everything from menial tasks to singing and dancing for 24 hours straight.
Singing and dancing 24 hours straight. That's, wow.
Then, after you finally become a success in your country, you have to pack up, leave all of that behind, go to a place where you didn't really speak the language, you didn't know anybody, you were possibly living in the company building. Like, you had to go through, it was like starting over from scratch, being a trainee again. And the whole time, while you're doing that, you have to nurture four other girls, get to know a whole new person, nurture someone through the depression and homesickness that they were suffering. Then that person eventually left, replaced with a new person. Then you had to go on tour, and it's like, I don't think this person hates the Wonder Girls or the fans, and anybody that would believe
that. You have to be kidding me. That's like one of the stupidest notions I've ever heard. How could she hate the Wonder Girls?
Like, it's like, I hate this group so much, I'm going to go and achieve personal happiness just so I could destroy them. Like, that's one of the most ridiculous things you could think of. Like, you know, if you wanted to destroy the group that you were in, leave. Like, if she just left, they have two singers in the whole group, she is one of them. Leave. They will be scrambling to replace her. She doesn't have to tie herself down to somebody, get into a marriage she possibly doesn't want, have kids she possibly doesn't want. Like, none of that would make sense. Like, even the most vicious, hateful, revenge-minded person, assuming, like, Wonder Girls had done something terrible to her to warrant something like that, then you
think
wouldn't...
they would have? I don't think so.
You wouldn't, like, hurt yourself. I mean, if you've gone way off the deep end and they've done something really horrible to you, maybe, but, like, you wouldn't potentially hurt yourself or set yourself up for failure just to get revenge on people who probably won't even notice you were doing it in the first place. It's like, oh, okay, you're getting married, you know, we can take part in the wedding? Cool, awesome.
Hey, but you know what? Not everyone feels that way. Apparently, most of the people in the fandom, or maybe people in Korea, and people I've seen... international fans are all happy for her.
I think it's because of who she is and her background specifically, and the side of herself that she's shown to fandom this whole time, which is why people are extremely happy for her. It's like, if anybody deserves this, it's you. Yep. But had this been someone, like, even if it had been another member of the Wonder Girls, I don't think it would have been accepted the same way that it has been.
Really? Just because, you know, she's lucky she's nice, that's why people are accepting? You're lucky you're nice, huh? People like you.
You're nice and polite and humble and loving and all of that stuff. So we feel terrible being mean to you. Whereas if you have a person who's colder and standoffish and who's gotten a lot of attention that it doesn't seem like they've deserved.
Okay, let's say someone from... Okay. God forbid someone from Girls' Generation gets married like that.
I don't even think there's a person in Girls' Generation that can get married at age 24, which is where the oldest of them are right now.
Or will like, be. Imagine what will happen.
The whole entire world collapse. That's what will happen. There are too many... I think it's easier for Wonder Girls, partially because they've been out of the limelight, but also because I really think their fan base is more female skewed than male skewed. Girls' Generation, on the other hand, is way more male skewed, or at least vocal fans, especially in the West, is more male skewed than female skewed. So one of their precious girls getting married would just destroy.
Yeah, the world is just going to explode, and yeah, it's going to be the end of the world. I think.
You know, they'll announce their engagement on December 12th. Everyone will be screaming about how the Mayans were right. The world will tilt off its axis. And it's just going to be me sitting there, finally smoking, just like, all this time, I thought this wasn't going to happen. And we're all going to die because one of the Girls' Generation members got married. I think it doesn't even matter which one, but God forbid it be one of the extremely popular ones.
Well, someone like Yuna.
God forbid Yuna.
Got
engaged. Like, well, Yuna, if she got engaged, I think that would just be like a Korea concentrated thing. Like, they would have a huge combruction, and that would be terrible for them. But if, like, I think Taeyeon is one of the more popular members in the West.
Taeyeon.
And worldwide. If she got engaged, dude.
Imagine.
Like, everything. Imagine. Everything would unravel.
She's the leader, right?
Yeah, she is the leader. It's an equivalent thing. You're a leader, you're one of the best vocalists, one of the most popular members, supposedly very nice, quite talented, because, you know, everybody in K-pop is nice.
Right. Okay.
Nice, with air quotes. If she got married, or is engaged to be married, first of all, I don't think that dude would last very long after.
Nope.
Like, people would be posted up at his parents' house immediately after the announcement.
There's going to be a wanted sign with his face on, $50,000 or $5 million reward.
All the fanboys could raise $5 million easily.
Yeah, they will raise $5 million.
Like, listen, they would be like the worst. Like, if you could imagine all of the worst qualities of big brothers and fathers that don't want their daughter to get married, like, all that rolled into one, combined with unresolved sexual tension, unresolved sexual longing, frustrated urges, all of the other stuff that's going on in the undercurrent of society, just all that merged into one person. They would be paying the dude, or attempting to pay the dude, to leave her. And it's like,
$5 million, easy enough, okay?
It's like, you could probably make a Kickstarter or some sort of donation drive. It's like, look, Taeyeon is getting married. We don't want this to happen. We need money.
$5 million.
By this date, so we can disrupt the wedding. And it's just, I can see that happening. Like, that could be a movie.
It's possible, right? Very much possible. Hey, that would be a great idea for a movie. You're so right, Dee.
That'd be pretty good.
And speaking of end of the world, I just remembered, I saw somewhere on the internet a few days ago, Psy and the dancing, you know, his horse dancing and the Nostradamus prophecy.
What?
Yeah, I have to look for it. Damn. They said, like, you know, 2012 is when the world ends, right? Yeah. And then Nostradamus said something like, when the horse dances, blah, blah, blah. It's the end of the world.
You heard it here first. K-pop is going to destroy the world in 2012. Uh-huh.
Seems like it. I mean, I should have written it down, but hey, I forgot. I was in the car, by the way, when I saw that. I was laughing.
But, you know. But yeah, this has been in the time since I've been paying attention to it, this has been K-pop's biggest year.
Definitely.
If there ever were a time to go out on top, this was it.
Mm-hmm. Like, what else did I see on the news sites today? Oh, Fantastic Baby and Gangnam Style on Glee. Surprise. Like, you know, we knew about Gangnam Style. We didn't know about Fantastic Baby, though.
It just played in the background, apparently. But, yeah, it is attempting very hard to become a part of American consciousness and Western consciousness as a whole. And it would be really interesting because it would lead to an exchange of ideas culturally. And I think that both sides have a lot they could learn from each other. And step one is to sort of get rid of the prejudice, you know, of, okay, we don't speak the same language. For the most part, we don't look the same. But we have this shared love and respect for music. And, you know, if anything else, that should be a tremendous conversation starter. Because you've seen a lot of the same places. When you get how Big Bang has been traveling. They did a show in Peru. They did shows on both U.S. coasts. They've been all throughout Asia. Did they go to London or did someone else go to London? Somebody's been to London.
They did. Big Bang, I think they're going to London, or they went to London already. But I know. To London.
So, yep. You have, like, prior to 2012, you would not have thought that not only, hey, would one of your top five favorite idols come to your country and perform, but there are also events like what KBS has been doing, where they've brought groups of idols over into other countries to put on a big Music Bank style show there. And even though those things may not make much money and may not make much sense immediately from a fiscal standpoint, like, mm-hmm. you're introducing more and more people to your culture and you know, to the primary movers and shakers of that culture. And mm-hmm. as you obviously, you know, we're getting more and more globalized. The world is getting smaller. People are looking for entertainment in places they would not have looked in before. So, obviously, we've discussed, you know, what sets K-pop apart from its older, bigger brother is that it's been very proactive when it comes to expanding its audience. Obviously, a lot of it happened by accident. But once they realized the trend, they embraced the internet culture and the internet's acceptance mm-hmm. of K-pop. And we can see that that's bleeding over into real life now. So that's something that's really cool.
Yeah, I know it is.
I hope the world continues so I get to see what happens in 2013.
See, look at what happens. You know, in Japan, they their popularity declines, but the rest of the world is suddenly going up.
Because mm-hmm. Great? It is interesting because as soon as we end up with a true global music market, because I think that would be the coolest part. If you're not forced to fit into the mold mm-hmm. of what an artist from that particular country, whether it's a British artist or an American artist or a French artist or Swedish or Japanese or Korean artists, you're not forced to fit into that mold to perform in that country or promote in that country, where everybody is just freely able to make music in the language that they're most comfortable in, and then that could be consumed by a large audience, and we could have more of a worldwide judge of popularity rather than strictly American or strictly Korean or so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
So unfortunately, I can never tell if people are joking or serious on the internet, but it's like people are complaining about Gangnam Style not being English, and I'm like, the same energy. The same energy. I can't call names because a lot of people, but the same energy you're taking to say, oh, I don't know what he's saying. You know, he could be insulting me. Like, dude, the same. Just type Gangnam Style and English behind it, and you will find the translation for it. Like, it's never been difficult, and I like that, since I got into K-pop, it's never really been difficult, for popular songs especially, to find translations for things. So, you can know what they're saying almost right away. Companies like JYP and Loen are translating their own stuff before they upload it. Like, it's an exciting time to be a K-pop fan. Unfortunately, the average person isn't going to know all of these things, but in your nicest, most polite, least dickish way of doing so, if you see people talking about stuff like this, gently inform them that it doesn't have to be that way.
That's right. Gently, okay? Don't shove it down people's throats.
Because that would be terrible.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
I don't know how to segue into JYJ, so you talk about it.
Yeah. Earlier this week, I was surprised with the news online about JYJ and SM Entertainment ending their lawsuit. It was really surprising because it came out of blue. And when the news first hit Twitter, everyone was like, more news to come because we're not sure if this is true. And alas, you know, it's true. Which is great, okay? Apparently, both sides have withdrawn their lawsuits. Withdrawn. Mm-hmm. No one won. No one won anything. They decided, okay, I've had enough of this shit.
Because you're wasting a lot of money.
I know. Definitely a lot of money. JYJ's side has released a statement, and I think SM has released a statement as well. They were like, since the guys don't want to perform as Bangbang Shinki anymore, we're going to let them go their own way, and we're not going to interfere with their activities. Right! Do you believe that? I don't.
That was like 4 or 5 years ago when it started, as how it feels. But, I mean, I'm sure everyone's allowed to have the headache for the most part behind them. Yeah. I'm sure both sides are upset that they didn't make any money off of this enterprise. They just both lost money.
Yeah.
And the JYJ management side complained that they had to make concessions. Like,
whatever those concessions are, we don't know.
Not only did we not get anything out of this, but we were also punished for taking part in this. So it's unfortunate from that end, but it would be really useful to the guys to not have this cloud hanging over their heads anymore. Mm-hmm. Whether or not they will be allowed on broadcast programs, this is another
question. Yeah, because apparently JYJ's management said that nothing will change. Like, you know, nothing's gonna change. We made concessions. Like, okay, if nothing changes, then does that mean that we're still not gonna be able to see you on TV? We're still not gonna be able to see you perform your songs on TV then? Yeah, maybe that's what they mean.
I think that's probably what's gonna happen, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I mean, let's face it though. SM Entertainment, they may not blatantly and outrightly just do things to block JYJ, but of course everyone will be sucking up to them. These networks, they're the biggest company out there. They have Girls' Generation, they have SHINee, they have Super Junior, they have FX, they have EXO, they have the two guys of Bangbang Shinki.
Yeah, like, I mean, they're constantly making successful groups. Like, what could you even do?
Yep. Because they can always say, look, if you let JYJ appear at any of your shows, Girls' Generation is not going on so-and-so show. See what will happen there. Like, that's not good, right?
Yeah, because you're left to weigh, you know, which one is more important to me. Mm-hmm. having the momentary influx of fans from the JYJ people being so excited. I mean, just honestly, if JYJ goes on, say, Music Core, their fans, whether it's a pre-recording or live, their fans could probably pack everyone else out of the room.
I'm sure of that. I'm really sure of that.
But, okay, that's going to happen maybe 12 times. As opposed to, you know, when they want to release a Suju album, when they want to release Sonia Shide or EXO or SHINee or, you know, FX.
Yeah, they can probably have a total band of SM entertainers performing just because of one performance, right?
Yeah, that would just
be not good.
That's not smart.
No, definitely not smart. So I don't think they're willing to risk that. Not at the moment. I mean, some of these broadcast companies have also released their statements, and it was something like, hey, look, we'll see how things go, or hey, look, We don't know yet. It's like everyone's gonna test the waters first. I doubt that they're gonna appear straight away. That they can appear on TV straight away. It's gonna be quite a challenge.
They're probably gonna have to appear on a probationary basis. Most likely would have to go on variety shows first before they can appear in a musical context. So I know that Variety has been wanting to have them on forever. So
maybe for Variety, yes, go ahead. Running Man, that should be interesting.
Yeah. And I mean, they're appearing on broadcast TV shows, so why can't they appear on music shows? It doesn't make any sense.
It's just the strangest thing, right? Because apparently these music companies do not have much control over dramas that are being produced, because these dramas are not being produced by the networks.
Maybe it's because the music programs themselves don't really make money for anyone involved in it. So, the networks will let the companies have their way, because it's just a ratings game. But when it comes to dramas, which is what seriously drives the network, they don't have time for little boy foolishness. Like, they're not going to be like, oh, you don't want us to hire the guy who's going to make us the most money. No. Okay? You can take that. We will listen to you when it comes to Music Bank. But when it comes to the drama, no, we're going to cast the guy we want to cast.
They don't really have control over the dramas that are being shown on TV, on the three major channels.
Thank God. At the very
least. Yeah, they don't. Well, you know, I think now they're starting to have some clout because they now have SM CNC, right? Which is, who's that actor dude? Oh, man, Jan Dong-gun? I think it's him. His company merged with SM. So now they have actors, big time actors and actresses and TV hosts as well. So I don't know what they're trying to prove here. They just want to be big and powerful, I guess.
I mean, you have to have your hand in all the pots. You don't know how long this K-pop boom is going to last.
And see what's going to happen next. Fine, produce this drama with so-and-so from JYJ and you're not going to get Jang Dong-gun.
It's like, okay, bye, whoever's in JYJ. Or, those guys are all quite young, 26 years old. Like, yeah, Jang Dong-gun has been a juggernaut for a long time, but, you could miss out on nurturing one of the biggest stars in the next 10 years. And not only would you miss out on having him on shows for you, you could also miss out on him owing you for giving him his big break, which works out in your favor a lot in the future. Yeah. So,
you know how things will play out in the future. You never know. You can't really tell, right? You can't really tell. But then again, SM wants to be all powerful. They just don't want to concentrate on music right now, which I totally understand, because look, Japan as a market, it's not looking up for them, because it seems like sales have fallen and sales have been below expectations, right? I think that's what NHK said. For these K-pop artists, they haven't really performed well, with quotation marks, okay? Air quotation marks. They haven't really performed well in the past year. Do you believe that?
It's like, I don't even know what any of the money means or where it comes from. It's just like, okay, SM is crazy rich and everybody else is trailing behind. Even when YG has a year, they make tons of money. It's like SM still easily eclipses that.
I don't know where the money comes from. In Korea, you think? No.
It can't be just Korea, but even though, like, I think part of SM's thing is that they're responsible for distribution of their albums, so they make more of the money back.
I see.
Per album, and then their fans buy a huge volume of physical copies, whereas all the other companies don't have that. Like, their sales are more digital than physical.
I get it. That's where the money comes from then. But what do you think about all this JYJ and SM news coming out? Honestly, I don't really you know, it's not a surprise because apparently everyone thinks that it has long been over. Even CJES thinks that this lawsuit thingy has, you know, has long been done with, well, over and done with anyway for them. But then again, for the fans, they're grateful that, hey, formally we know it's over. For the three boys of JYJ, they know that it's over. I guess they appreciate that it's over, but nothing will change. Not anytime soon, though. So I don't think they should be totally happy.
I think they want to be happy, but yeah, unfortunately,
they can't.
Like, reality still exists. But yep. You know, they have a substantial amount of money. Maybe they can find happiness in other things.
They have lots of money.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I think when they left SM, they were like rolling in the dough. Or I don't know how they got their money. Did they get more money when they left, or was it all the money that they
the thing
have
is,
now, was it
they were
of
still
their
they
salaries?
Were still making they were still making a lot of money. Under SM, like, let's not even kid ourselves here, but they were entitled to much more money than they were making.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there was at some point some sort of monetary settlement when they split. I don't know which direction the money went in, whether it was from SM to JYJ or it was from JYJ to SM, because they were threatened that they would have to buy out the rest of their contract, and the contract was deemed illegal, and all the other stuff happened. So maybe they made some money off of that because they were able to help finance the formation of their company. Mm-hmm. And they've done a tremendous amount of expanding. And then when you look at the fact that two of them have been involved in highly successful dramas, one of them has been involved in a highly successful musical.
Yeah.
So they should be rolling in the dough if they're making sound investments.
I hope they are. I mean, it looks like they have been making sound investments because they have different businesses. I think Yuchen has a gelato shop. Junsu has a restaurant. Jaejoong has a restaurant, I think, and other stuff. But I hope, apart from that, that they've been saving their money. I hope. I really hope so. Instead of buying all these Ferraris and stuff.
But they just rent the Ferraris.
Really, now they have?
I don't know. That would be a cool thing to do, though, because every other day.
You could show up in a different car.
I would, like, totally own the exotic cars rental place. Like, that's the thing I would invest my money into. So I don't even have to pay to rent the cars, just drive them.
But then again, what if someone crashes the car when they rent it? What will happen?
Insurance takes care of that.
Okay, make sure you're fully insured and your insurance takes care of everything then. Like, that's the best possible coverage, and that should be worth a lot of money. Oh, dear.
So,
what else?
The last big thing is MNET held their Mama Awards earlier today. I totally forgot it happened this late in the year. For some reason, I always thought it was in October. Let me go back and get the list of winners. But Mama's always had a cloud over it, basically because they felt that the system is rigged. Like, some people feel like you could vote all you want, but the people that they want to win will still win.
Yeah, you're right. But this is the vote all you want award ceremony.
Yeah, but like, everything is weighted, and the online votes are weighted to 20%. So
really,
like. Allegedly, when they explain their metric, it's at 20%. So,
then explain something.
Okay.
How did Super Junior win the best album of the year for Sexy Free and Single? How?
Because I think album sales also is weighted, and it's weighted more heavily than votes. But,
okay,
what
about Busker then? Shouldn't they have won?
They won several things. They won Best New Male Artist. They won Best Band Performance. So you're not gonna win over an idol. That's not gonna happen. Not in 2012's music industry. But you know, the coolest thing, Psy got Song of the Year, Psy got International Artist.
Yeah. Who else is gonna get that? No one else is gonna get that.
He also got Best Dance Performance. The Big Bang Awards were Best Male Group, Worldwide Performer, and Album of the Year. G-Dragon got Best Male Artist, which I think is garbage.
Well, who should have won? Who should have won, you think?
Listen, don't make me answer questions. I don't know. But I just don't think it should be G-Dragon.
Wait, I can't find his name here. Like, where? Who were the other nominees?
Oh, I don't have a nominee list. But the reason primarily why I don't think it should have been him, because his album just released, basically. It's like everyone is like, okay, who can we remember promoting? Which is going to be people in the last 2 to 3 months. And that's who wins. Which is unfortunate, because like, if you have a really good album from earlier in the year, but you're not promoting at the end of the year, you can basically check all of the awards off your list, because it's not going to happen.
Oh, okay. Now I know why he won. It says here, Best Male Artist Award Solo, K-Will, G-Dragon, K-Will, JYP, Seb, and Psy. Okay. But hang on. Why didn't Psy win?
I have no idea, because he's little kid vote for him.
Yeah, because he just released one song. That's Gangnam Style, or is it just one song that became popular off that album?
G-Dragon only... I mean, he had, like, five songs on the album, but G-Dragon had a mini-album also.
Okay, fine, 20%. All right. This, I don't get this. Best Female Artist Award goes to IU.
Did she even release a song this year? I don't know.
I can't even remember if she released a song. Didn't she release a song last year? She had an album last year?
Probably. I just don't, like... Whatever she released, I've not heard it. Part of that is choice, but I've not heard it. Yoonha, I think, had one of the best solo albums this year.
She wasn't even nominated. That's sad.
There's no love.
None. Look at that! Okay, see. Nominees for the Best Female Artist Award Solo. Gina, Gain, Dachiyang, BoA, and IU. I remember BoA released something and I liked it.
BoA should have gotten it.
I know. Let's be honest here. BoA should have gotten it, because if you are an IU fan, I'm so sorry, but we both cannot remember if she released a song this year. So we're really sorry, okay? We just remember what she did.
I'm sure you'll tell us that she did release a song.
Okay.
What we will probably tell you is that we're not fans of IU and we don't care. I'm not a fan of BoA, but I remember her song. I remember that she danced on a guy. Mm-hmm. The guy was a sofa. That was awesome. I remember that Baek Ji-young released a song where she basically referred to guys as, she's a metaphor with guys as dogs. Or pets, rather.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And Gain. Gain released a song, right? It's Bloom. Yeah,
very recently. The Guys Protection League or whatever in Korea was very upset. Junhyung was in that song. I remember all of that. Gain released a song, another extremely sexy. I always feel weird using the word sexy when Gain does stuff, because it doesn't come off that way to me. It's like, it always feels clinical. But anyway, that's not important.
I loved her performance of Bloom, by the way.
She can sing really well, you know, we know that.
Yeah, so I love her performance at Mamas.
She's a pretty good performer, we know that also. Mm-hmm. So I'm still confused as to why IU won, because Brown Eyed Girls are ridiculously popular. She's the youngest member, so she's the most popular member, so none of that makes sense to me.
I don't know. Maybe it's because she just released her album recently?
But she just should win. Like, she has the most recent album release of all the people in the list. If we go by why we think G-Dragon may have won over Psy,
that's right.
She should win. She's currently promoting. None of it makes sense.
But then again, who's a bigger idol? Gain or IU?
Gain has... Shit, I can't remember. 6 years. 6 years of, actually promoting behind her, and she's still only 25 years old.
Like, but who votes?
She's very young, though, and they like her. She was in We Got Married. IU was never in We Got Married.
Okay, I'm not gonna say something about why she was in We Got Married, okay? Okay!
She was in We Got Married to deflect certain accusations against people, and it was cute, but it didn't really work. Like, we still have those thoughts.
But okay, let's go over this. Like, you know, if we're gonna figure out why Gaion didn't win and why IU won, it's like figuring out why G-Dragon won and Psy didn't win.
But it makes same thing. Like, G-Dragon winning over Psy makes less sense than IU winning over Gaion. Like, we understand that because of reasons, IU is more popular than Gaion, even though it's ridiculous reasons. Psy is a global phenomenon. You don't let him lose awards that he's nominated for in his country. It doesn't make sense.
That's just crazy. But you know, this is GD you're talking about. It's going to be a hard choice. It's not a hard choice for these fangirls. Who are they going to vote for? Of course, it's going to be GD Oppa. Who else?
Such a simple choice. It should not be him.
But look at this.
Gaion got an award for style in music, which I assume was the consolation prize. Because they probably looked at the results and they were like, this is stupid. Mm. Gaion should not lose to IU. Too bad he didn't give Boa a consolation prize, but I guess she had other things to do that night.
Come on, you know she doesn't need an award. She like owns half of SM Entertainment anyway.
I hope. Never mind. Because you don't need to know about what I was going to say. Best new female artist is Ailee, which is fine.
Yeah, I'm good with that. Well, let's start with Artist of the Year. I think this is the grand prize, right?
Usually. All three of them, like Artist, Album, and Song of the Year, I'm not even sure which one is the biggest prize. But Big Bang got Artist of the Year because this year was their big comeback to K-pop, and God, but all of their songs were so boring.
Really?
I was not impressed.
I mean, I've been finding myself singing, I love you, baby, I'm not a monster.
Listen, you will not put that song in my head. The song of theirs that I liked was Bad Boy.
Me too. Was it released this year or last year?
Beginning of this year, I think.
Okay, so that's definitely going on my list of my top K-pop songs because I've been trying to figure out if Bad Boy has been released in 2011 or just this year. So it goes straight to my list.
You cannot put that on your list because that's on my list.
Like, hello, it always happens that we have songs on our list, like the same songs.
We're going to end up with it, instead of an 100 song list, it's going to be like 75 songs.
Yeah.
But yeah, that album released and then they repackaged Alive with Monster on it. So yeah, I like that song. I hated the video, but I like that song. Everything else, just Blue was dull to me. Monster was pretentious to me.
I don't like that song, but I... Oh, look! KBS Music Bank is on. It's a rerun. Okay.
Nope.
I'm so distracted. Go ahead.
Make announcements about what's going on in your house. Your TV shouldn't even be on. Okay? Big Bang also won Best Male Group.
Yep.
Album of the Year, like you mentioned, went to Super Junior because...
Because what?
I don't know. Like, the quality of their music has deteriorated at a ridiculous... it's like it's been reducing by its half-life every 15 seconds or whatever. Like, it's mind-boggling how much worse their music has gotten. Because they started out on a really low point. Like, Twins was a horrible song. And they went up for a little bit, but everything past, like, its youth has been terrible.
Can I say something about Twins? Isn't that a knockoff of an English song?
It's like a remake or something. I know I've heard the sample before somewhere.
I know. If I'm not mistaken.
The best collaboration performance was Troublemaker, and I think this only technically counts because it came out last year. But it
late last year.
Mm-hmm. It must have come out after Mama last year. Because I know they
didn't they perform Troublemaker live last year? Wasn't it at the Mamas as well?
I don't know. Maybe it just wasn't eligible.
Or maybe they previewed the Troublemaker duo.
That's possible. Or maybe like the Mama people were just like, we don't even care. Screw integrity. We're gonna give it to these people. Because you know, it just was like the song came out and it was huge. So you can't not give them the award for it. I guess. Mm-hmm. And they performed again, and it was raunchier than ever, which I appreciate. I mentioned it before.
I approve.
I appreciate their dedication to making every performance of Troublemaker raunchier than the previous performance. Like, it is a ridiculous attention to detail and just, like, level of, we're going to do this whether you like it or not, so you better like it. And, like, at one point, she's, like, humping his leg, and I'm just like, if this were anybody else, I would be up in arms. But because it's you, I know he's incredibly uncomfortable with this, and I know that you're doing it because they want you to do it.
Which, we're good. Know, we're good.
Or even better, I know that you probably choreographed this part. And every time I go to say that word, I try to say choreography. That's why it doesn't work. I know that you probably had some hand in the creation of this dance, which makes it even more fantastic. There's a part where Hyuna and Hyunsung are on opposite sides of the stage, and he's dancing with, like, the female dancers, and one of them, like, puts herself in blowjob position, which was funny.
Oh my god, like, I didn't notice that. Like,
that totally happened.
You have perfect and awesome attention to detail, Dee.
She was like, head down. She was head down, ass up. And I was just like, this is an audience full of children. What is wrong with you people? Why are you doing this?
You have awesome attention to detail. You should be working my job, you know?
I'm a pervert. That's the only reason why I noticed that. I knew it was them, so they were going to try something, and I wanted to make sure that I saw what it was.
Okay. So anyway, we won. Look at this. Song of the Year goes to Psy for Gangnam Style, which, hey, that's fine with me. I approve. Can't really complain there.
You can't not give it to him. Like,
Yeah, it's Psy. Best album of the year. Okay, Super Junior, Sexy Free and Single. I cannot take this. I don't know why this happened, but okay, fine. It's just accepted. Best new male artist goes to Busker, which is awesome. Yeah, because they won over BAP and XOK.
It's a non-pop group. It's indie, it's alternative, it's something that grown-ups like. So it's interesting to see them win. Good for... And they supposedly weren't going to come, too, so good for everyone involved here.
There's Ooh La La Session as well, being in the nominees list in John Park, but hey, Busker versus Ooh La La Session, that's kind of tough, but okay, congratulations, Busker, so you won that. Best New Female Artist goes to... Yeah, but this isn't it strange because they have AOA, Spica, Ailee, Junyeol, and Hello Venus here as the nominees. Isn't it normally like if you're nominated for a Best New Male Artist or Best Female Artist Award, isn't that supposed to be a solo act? Or I'm just overthinking.
I think it was, but there probably wouldn't be enough nominees if they made a Best New Artist Solo and Best New Artist Band. Plus, like, their whole system is more skewed towards groups than individuals, so it probably just has to get lumped in together. But I mean, whatever, like, she won over groups of girls, so that's
awesome.
Yeah, it says something about her.
Yeah. I mean, AOA, Spica. I can understand why they're here. Because AOA is quite interesting. Spica is awesome as a group. And how many girl groups debuted this year? A lot? Not that much.
It was still a lot. I think it started to cool off from last year, but I think it was still a huge number.
Junyeol. Okay, she's like the next IU.
Yeah.
Hello Venus didn't really make an impression on me. Aren't they from Pleatus?
Yes, they are.
Okay. I can't even remember their release, so I'm sorry. But because this is my basis, okay? Out of all the rookies this year, these are the only ones that made some sort of a dent in the music industry. So you have like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 nominees. Wow. It must be a tough world out there.
Yeah.
Okay, Best Male Group Award goes to Big Bang. Okay. They beat Chinua? Okay.
Well, Chinua didn't actually release the album, so
I know, but how could they be nominated?
I don't know. Because they're still alive, I guess, and together.
DBSK, Beast, Big Bang, Super Junior, Chinua. So Big Bang won because, let's face it, since Big Bang's here. We can't deny them of that.
Yep.
Okay, Best Female Group Award goes to Sistar. Happy about that.
Yeah, it's been their year for a while. Since, like, 2011, it's been their year.
Yep, this is Sistar's year, definitely. So
even though they had that controversy over, like, buying their own stuff and manipulating charts.
Yep.
But you can't deny they're R-squared pie. Go ahead.
Yep. So they beat 21 and Tatis show, the three girls from Girls' Generation. Sistar, okay, Sistar one. Kara and Tiara is even here. Okay, fine.
Well, they are, like, a popular group, and they released multiple mini-albums this year.
Okay.
But, riddle me this, though.
Yeah.
UKISS didn't get nominated for anything, right?
UKISS?
Yeah.
I can't see them. Okay, let me just double-check. I wanna make sure that I don't see them here. Nope.
That's so sad.
What can I say? They didn't get nominated for anything.
Ever.
Like, that's really sad.
That is so terrible. Like, we laugh because it hurts.
Oh, man. Okay, now, what's next? Best Male Artist Awards solo goes to GD. You know, we talked about it earlier. And then IU, Best Female Artist solo goes to her. And there's a generous category. Best Dance Performance solo goes to Psy. Gangnam Style. Okay. He beat BoA, only one. That's kind of sad. But hey, I accept it because it's Psy. It's Gangnam Style. How could he not win?
Yep.
Best Dance Performance by a male group is SHINee with Sherlock. What do you think?
I barely remembered that they were out this year.
Me too. But then again, they beat Beast, Beautiful Night, Super Junior, Sexy Free and Single, thank God. And Blacklist is War.
I loved both Beast song and M-Black song, but Beast definitely I don't think was anything like to phone home about in terms of dance. It was just mostly them goofing off on stage.
Mm-hmm.
M-Black's choreography I don't remember. So.
Oh, and the next is Infinite, The Chaser. I like this. Okay, so SHINee won.
Phoenix didn't get nominated for anything.
Nope. Didn't see it. I think I didn't see it. Yep, it's not here. Best Dance Performance by a Female Group. FX, Electric Shock. Yeah. Okay, explain this to me, D. Was it that good?
Was what that good?
FX, Electric Shock.
Oh, that was pretty good. I'm just saying it was pretty good because I actually liked the song and I've liked nothing by them so far.
Really?
Yes.
Wow, I don't like the song. Like, and I'm an FX fan.
Well, it is on my list.
Okay, so, thanks for letting me know. So they beat 4 Minute, with Volume Up, Miss A with Touch, Secret, Poison, Sistar, Alone. That's interesting.
Wait, they won over Alone?
Yeah. Best Dance
what?
By a female group. I don't know what happened, but they
don't really, like...
But is this not really supposed to be a dance group?
No, I'm saying Sistar's Alone wasn't really dance intensive. It was pretty simplistic moves. So nothing from Secret got nominated?
Secret. Why is it?
I timed out when you said something. I only heard Sistar at the end. But
Secret.
Really? Poison was nominated for Best Dance and they did. Really? They didn't win?
Yeah, listen. I guess the leg spreading thing doesn't really work well with minors.
I take back everything I said about Electric Shock. They deserve to win. Just because of the difficulty level, you know, the fact
how
that their parents.
How difficult is it to spread your
legs? Listen, that, it's pretty difficult because it's not just that their legs were spread, it's what they did after they spread their legs. But we shouldn't be discussing what they did in a child friendly show. I've been trying to cut back on cursing, so.
Really?
But
no, I don't believe you.
Well, I have been. Did you hear me curse?
No, not really.
Exactly. It's been working. I noticed. I didn't do it intentionally. I just noticed that I wasn't cursing as much.
That's nice.
And then, anyway,
okay.
Sistar, Secret should have taken it over.
FX.
Yes.
Okay. Fine.
That's what I meant to say.
Best Vocal Performance Solo, Kay Will with I Need You. Which is great. You know, I don't have a complaint here. because he beat Baek Ji-young with Voice, IU, You and I. Okay, so IU had a release. Definitely had a release. John Park, Falling? Do you remember that song? I don't. Isn't that the one with Yuna?
No. The one with... Jesus, don't... Falling was his debut song.
Okay, thank you.
The one with Yuna is a different song that I don't remember the name of. But I liked it. It was good.
And then you got The Person Who Loved Me. So, with K-Will winning, I'm happy. I'm good. K-Will looks like Daesung, right? Or Daesung looks like K-Will.
Daesung looks like K-Will.
Mm-hmm. Best vocal performance by a group. Davichi, We'll Think of You. This is great because haven't Davichi broken up?
They had actually left.
Excuse me.
Hello. They left their
that.
Okay, I forgot the question.
Go ahead. All right. Well, what were you asking?
No, I was responding to you and
yeah, Davichi.
Oh, yeah, they had temporarily left their agency, but they came back.
You're serious, right?
Yeah, I'm serious. They hadn't broken up, but they were leaving
they CCM. Left CCM. Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what the guy has on them. But within the week, they re-signed.
Are you kidding me? And they even made the announcement that they were going to leave the company and go on a different company with someone else, isn't it?
They must have, compromising pictures. Yeah, they were supposed to, one of their former managers made a company, I think, similar to Hyori's situation. And they were supposed to join that company, but I guess they said that, they didn't like, it wasn't professional enough or something like that, and they just bailed. What? And I think, yeah, it's just... I don't know how you didn't hear about that.
I didn't. Okay, you know how... I was really sick, you know that, right? But I'm still sick. But hey, I didn't hear of that. You didn't even mention that. Or maybe someone didn't brief me on that.
I thought you knew.
No, I didn't. That's surprising. Oh my god. Like, he must have, nude photos of the girls or something. Why would you come back to a hellhole like that?
It must not have been as bad for them. I don't know.
Maybe.
Or maybe it's the best agency for acting, because Kai Min Kyung acts, so.
Okay.
She does, though. Why did you laugh? She does act.
Yeah, okay. She's pretty, though. That's all I can say. Oh, I remember Kang Min Kyung. She's the girl who's pretty that wears butt pads. Okay. She wears butt pads because apparently she has a flat ass. And people have been calling her out on that. Like, stop wearing those silly butt pads. That's what I remember about her. But she's pretty. Okay.
Okay.
All right. What else? Okay, best vocal performance by a group. So they won. They won over 2AM. I wonder if you heard Like Me. Over No, I Miss You. Or Urban Zagapa. Okay, I Hate You. Four Men. The Man, the Woman. I don't have any complaints because, all these people can sing really well. But since then, I'm surprised about Davichi still being with CCM.
Well, you're welcome.
Thank you.
Now you know.
Yeah. I'm just shocked. Best band performance. Okay, Busker Busker. Cherry Blossom Ending. Okay. Yeah, that's nice, D. But this is what I think is such an abomination. Why is FT Island and CN Blue in the same category as Nell and Busker Busker and 10CF?
They technically play instruments, so they're technically a band.
Okay. Right. Okay. I getcha.
I mean, it's not like they can have, best idol band as a category, because then it would just be FT Island, CN Blue, and AOA. Okay. So,
best idol group. Okay, that's fine then. I accept. I concede. Okay.
Well, at least they lost. Look at it like that.
Mm-hmm. Busker, Cherry Blossom Ending. That's great.
They could have won.
Oh, I would be up in arms. I'd be like, No, that's not possible. Okay, you tell me if this is right, okay? Best rap performance, Epic High with Up. And the other nominees are Dynamic Duo Without You, Isang Someday, Mighty Mouth with Bad Boy, and Verbal Gent with You Deserve Better. Your thoughts on this?
I mean, of the... Wait, which Epic High song is nominated?
Up.
Oh. Ew.
Okay.
No. If it had been Cold, then yeah. But that song, no. That song's actually terrible. That's the one with Park Bom.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah. No. The Lee Sang Verbal Gent songs, I have listened to, but I don't really remember. I think I really like the Dynamic Duo song, but not to the extent where, like, I would have given it to them over Cold, had Cold actually been nominated. And the Mighty Mouth song I just not listened to at all, so I don't even know.
You know how I love Isang and Verbal Gent?
Mm-hmm.
This is going to be a hard decision for me, really. I haven't listened to Up that much. I only listened to it once because I heard Park Bom. So I said, okay, I'm going to just listen to this later and forgot about it. So I don't have much of an opinion here. So I can't say anything. That's why I need your opinion.
I don't really understand like what their criterion is for whether or not, or rather not whether or not, but which hip-hop artist they will nominate. Like, clearly, it has to be someone that's incredibly mainstream, but why would you nominate, like, of the three songs that Epic High released, why would you nominate the worst one?
Yeah, why would you nominate Up? I don't know. Was it the first song to be released, or was it...
No, Cold was the first one.
What's the title track? What was, the, like, the real title track? Don't tell me there are three title tracks here for Epic High.
God, the one with Hate Me in the title.
Don't Hate Me?
Yeah, that one. That's the main one.
Oh, well, I don't know. I don't know what their basis for the nominations are. Especially if you release three songs. Why is it Up? Don't know.
I don't know.
Okay, let's move on to the other categories here. Best OST. Mm-hmm. Oh, I like this. Soyeon-guk and A-Pink's Eunji. All for You from Reply 1997. Apparently, this drama is good. We should watch this, D.
Sure.
Yeah, that's what they've been saying. Reply 1997 is good because it takes you back in time to the days of early K-pop. I think 1997 was when HOT was really big, H.O.T. And they were fans of H.O.T. And that's the premise of the story anyway. That's pretty awesome if you want to take a look back in time at how K-pop was when I first got into it. Then, yeah, watch this. Okay, best music video goes to Psy for Gangnam Style. Of course he's going to win. Okay, I'm not going to complain. Okay, Guy in Bloom, these are the nominees. Now, Will Memory of the Wind, Big Bang for Monster, Infinite the Chaser. Okay, Psy, of course, will win this. I don't expect anyone else to win this. Okay? Okay. Best collaboration performances? Oh, it goes to Troublemaker. For Troublemaker, I applaud.
Yep. Because who else could they have given it to?
Look, the Beachy and Tiara, We Were in Love. JYP and Guyan, someone else. Skull and Haha had a song.
Yeah. Busan Vacants or
nice.
Something like that.
Had no idea. Ugakenzia, I Need You. So, of course, Troublemaker won. And, you know, I'm not going to complain. I like the song. I like the choreography. Okay. This is a question. This is the next award is a question for me. Best Global Group. I'm going to ask you. Who do you think won?
Who were the nominees? Or do I not get to hear the nominees?
No, I will give you the nominees later, but yeah, who do you think won? Just off the top of your head, like, you know, all these big girl groups anyway.
Oh, I was going to actually say Big Bang, so sorry.
Best global female group.
Oh, female?
Mm-hmm.
You would think it would be Sonu Shide or Kara.
Oh, you're so right. One of them did win. Kara won.
Well, that explains why they were there, because if they had come to this award show and won nothing, that would just be terrible.
Yeah, well, the nominees were 21, FX, Tate Tiso, Girls Generation, and The Wonder Girls.
I am happy for them, because even though their reaction was dumb to, like, they have, I don't understand how you're singers and dancers, but you have, like, no coordination, because they're... like, vibing to songs was just embarrassing. But, like, they were literally the only idols that were there, with the exception of Sistar, like, when they finally got off stage, in the audience that was actually, like, reacting to the song, to what they were seeing on stage.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone else just looked like they were dead inside, or they didn't want to be there, or they didn't have enough to drink before they got there.
Was there an open bar? Do you know?
I don't think so. Like, Super Junior didn't look nearly drunk enough, so it could not have been an open bar.
That's sad.
Because Kangin was there, and you're sure he would have been wasted.
That's really sad. But then, what's their basis for this Best Global Group category? Is it sales in Japan, or overall popularity, overall sales, or overall popularity in Japan?
I don't know their criterion at all. I can't tell you. But my assumption would be, like, whoever's probably done the most outside of expectations, outside of Korea. And of all those people listed, it would have to be Kara.
That's interesting.
Because they've topped Oricon, haven't they, this year?
I think so.
And that's a pretty huge deal.
Mm-hmm.
So...
hey, 21's nominated as well. If anyone's global, that's them. But they haven't won anything.
They're global in that, like, people all over the globe like them. But they're not global in, like, they're actively engaging audiences from all over the world. Like, that just started. And it was a short notice kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, like, their popularity level, even in Korea, isn't on the same level as Kara and... Shinichide.
True.
They're more popular than the Wonder Girls for sure. So I think it's
why
it's Shinichide. I'm sorry. Look, it's true. Okay, it's like Shinichide, Kara, 21, Tiara, and Wonder Girls. Although 21 and Tiara may be like flipped.
Probably.
That's how it goes.
Yeah. Okay. Now, best global group male. Okay, Deke, take a wild guess. Who won?
Big Bang. I'm gonna say that.
No! See, that's way too fast. Yes! Explain.
I cannot explain that. Their popularity is ridiculous, though. It's tremendous.
I mean, if it's Big Bang, I wouldn't have a question right now. Fine. You know, because they've been having concerts here, there, and everywhere. What else? CNBLUE, TVXQ, Beast, Big Bang, Super Junior. They're the nominees. DBSK, as much as I don't want to say this, but I have to, their popularity has waned with just the two of them.
Yeah.
It's really sad, though. It's really sad. I mean, if they were still together as five, they'd be untouchable.
But they may have broken up if they were still together as five.
Yeah, but they'd be untouchable. Like, you know, they'd be dominating everything and everyone. Damn. Oh, well, what could have been, right? Oh, well, that's really sad. But, you know, things happen for a reason. But then, please explain Super Junior, because I don't understand how they could have won over Big Bang.
Their fan base is the hugest. The hugest of all the hugest.
No, okay, seriously. Like seriously, Cassiopeia didn't vote enough for Dongbang Shinki, they just voted for Super Junior?
Look, Cassie is... remember, it's split. The people don't care as much as they used to.
Mm-hmm.
And Elf is bigger now because of everything. And they're bigger by a huge margin. So...
really? Is this official?
I don't think officially. But, like, when it comes to active people, I think they're a lot bigger. Like, Big Bang has the third largest fan base... which is good, but not great. Even though they're like, of the groups nominated, they're the most active outside of Korea. They've done the closest thing that resembles a world tour.
They did, right? They're doing that. You would think that they would have won. See, that's my problem. I mean, look, people, it's not that I hate Super Junior, or you know, we don't really hate Super Junior. We don't. Okay? We might come across as Super Junior haters. That's not true. Okay? We like Super Junior. We like a few people from Super Junior. We like their songs, not all their songs, but it's just a bit surprising how they won over Big Bang in the best global group category. If we go by the number of fans, then yes, fine, I understand. But if we go by their actual presence globally, I would have say that I would have, I would have said, what am I saying? I would have said that Big Bang should win.
Yep. Like, this is the one thing where I would definitely argue that they should have won.
Yeah.
Some of the things they actually won, I don't think they should have. But,
but this they should have won, right? Other categories. Yep. Mnet PD's Choice, BAP. Okay. I don't understand this award, so let's skip. Best.
I think that's like a consolation prize.
Okay, thank you for coming. Kind of.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like you've worked really hard this year. We're sorry that like fan base and our own metric didn't reward you for that hard work, but we like you guys. So there you go.
All right. Oh, damn. What else? Next song. Not next song. Best award is Best Asian Artist. It goes to Wang Li Hom. Hey, I love him, so I'm not gonna say anything. And I was so upset because the videos in YouTube have been taken down.
It'll probably be officially uploaded by Mnet at some point.
Thank you for letting me know. But I love Wang Li Hom. He's my C-pop boyfriend, Taiwanese boyfriend, Wang Li Hom. I love you. I remember when I was in China, I went for a holiday a few years ago with my grandma in China for 2 weeks. And in Beijing, there were huge posters of Wang Li Hom all over the place. I think it was an ad for Sony Ericsson, and I so wanted to steal one of them. But of course, it would be scary, okay? I'm in Beijing. Like, you know, you're not supposed to do anything bad or illegal there.
Oh, so, anywhere.
Yeah, but still, you know, it's Beijing. I'm like, doubly scared. This is China. Okay, how could I steal a poster of Wang Li Hom? Impossible. Best Asian Artist in Japan goes to AKB48. 48 Girls. Nice. Best Asian Artist Philippines goes to Sarah Geronimo. This is the first time I've seen a Philippine artist up in Mamas. Best Asian Artist Vietnam goes to Mai Tam. Best Asian Artist for Singapore goes to Taufik Batisa. The Best Asian Artist for Indonesia goes to Agnes Monica. I like her. International Favorite Artist, Psy. Oh, that makes sense. Solid Music, which is what is that? Best, not the best MV, but consolation prize for the best MV?
Probably.
Goes to Gayan. And this is funny. Guardian Angel, worldwide performer.
I think I think Guardian Angel is like the name of the sponsor of the award. Most likely.
Okay. D, explain this. Best Line Award goes to Super Junior.
I have no clue what that is. I'll just leave that there.
What no is clue. It like? Are they queuing? And like they form the best queue because there's how many guys in Super Junior now? 11? 12? 13?
Whatever. Well.
Or does this pertain to a line in the song? Like a sexy free and single?
That's possible.
Oh my god. Best New Asia Act, EXO. What's the difference between the Best Rookie Award and this?
This one is the one that they could actually give to EXO.
Okay, fine. Alrighty. So, now I understand, sort of. Oh, this is very interesting. Obviously, some people we feel should not have won their awards. Some people we felt should have won that award. Overall, this is how K-pop really is.
Yeah,
it's so unfair.
We're always going to be arguing because when you look at it, the people from the small companies are never going to get the consideration they deserve, period. Unless they eventually move from a small agency to a bigger one. Mm-hmm. for example, Dalmatian is supposed to be moving agencies later this year or early next year. So if they get into a bigger agency, you can look to see their popularity increase almost immediately. Pretty much the awards are going to be dominated by A, people who've just released stuff, B, people from the big three or the big four mm-hmm. companies, then like people from obviously FT Island and CN Blue didn't win anything this time, but they've won multiple awards before. And there's always going to be this inherent level of bias because with Mama in particular, you can't win if you don't show.
Yeah.
Or that was the unspoken rule.
Isn't that rule for most award shows anyway? In Korea?
Probably in Korea, because I was going to say, I've seen people send in satellite videos because they're working on a film or whatever and they can't come. So they'll send a video message thanking, you know, cause what do you need me to actually be there for? Because it was a way of punishing people for not showing up because you're not there, less publicity for the event, all this other stuff. Mm-hmm. So you're going to have that situation. You're also going to have things where, look, ELF is just the biggest fan base or the most ridiculous fan base, however you want to look at it, because I'm not sure whether the numbers reflect that ELF is bigger than Cassie, but
they've Cassie got, is really bigger, though. Like,
they've got a... I don't know, because there was a split in the fan base, and I don't know how many of those people stayed with the whole group. And like you said, they've lost popularity.
They have, and that's really sad.
Not just in Japan, but in Korea as well. So you're not going to be able to compete with the fan base of SM groups. Like, if they're actually committed to voting for something, you lose. That's why SM artists get so many awards. Especially if voting is a factor, they're going to win almost automatically. Which is why the award shows have tried to... Obviously, you have to include the fan vote, so the fans feel included, because that's one of the biggest parts of K-pop, but at the same time, like, they don't need to control something that needs to be relatively unbiased, and the second you let fans vote, you automatically make the thing biased.
Yep.
It's going to be really hard to have a legitimate award show in Korea, because, like, it would have to be... You'd have to take people out of the... Take people who are not in the environment at all and give them, like, a blind listen to all of the songs and all of the material, and then say, okay, now pick something based on what you heard. But unfortunately, like, music doesn't exist in a vacuum. It has cultural context. Mm-hmm. And we know that Alone was a huge song controversy, or no... We know that Gangnam Style was enormous. Like, we know these things, so you can't ignore them. Which, this year, it's fine. Like, this year, everybody knows this. We're fine with Sistar being awarded for Best Female Group. We're fine with Psy getting the awards he got. We probably think he should have gotten more.
Yep, he should have.
Unfortunately, there are not a lot of... Like, this Mama is basically equivalent to, like, the Teen Choice Awards or
MTV Awards.
MTV VMAs. It's a mix between the two, like, whichever one you think has less credibility, that's what Mama's probably closer to.
Okay, which one has less credibility?
I don't know. Teen Choice Awards, probably?
It's for kids. Do they vote?
Yeah, they do vote. That's why it's a Teen Choice.
Okay, I didn't know. Sorry.
I think it's primarily by vote. There's a Teen Choice Awards that, God, I don't remember who airs it. The People's Choice Awards airs on CBS, and the Kids' Choice Awards airs on Nickelodeon. And then, you know, VMAs air on MTV.
Yep.
And then you have things that are supposed to be taken more seriously, like the Grammys, and you have other award shows like the American Music Awards, the BET Music Awards, the Country Music Awards. Like, everybody has their thing. And Korea has, I think, three... music award shows. So this, the Golden Disc.
At the end of the year, yep.
And the other one that I don't remember.
Which one is the most prestigious? Like, the Grammys or something?
Allegedly the Golden Disc, but I'm not even 100% sure. And I think Cyworld has a end of year thing as well for digital charts.
Okay.
Because, you know, they give out an award every month for the top digital songs.
Okay.
And there's a big overall winner at the end of the year.
Okay. I got it. Very interesting. Very interesting, though. But this is, yeah. I know you guys have qualms over the winners as well. Most of you probably think that someone deserved it better than the others. But it's very interesting because the nominees, the rookies are there, but you won't see a lot of the rookies. You will see that out of all the groups that debuted, I only saw, what, 4 rookies.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. That's very interesting. 4 or 5, if you count BAP.
I didn't even remember that Ali was a rookie, honestly.
Me too.
And I would not have had a problem if she'd won, like, the best female artist category, like, just going on who was nominated. But Heaven was an omnipresent song.
Mm-hmm. It's like the Beyonce song, too, right? It sounds like Halo. Yeah.
And then you had her, like, showing out on Immortal Song 2, and the fact that the only person who really could contest her was Ali, who was a fantastic singer in her own right. So, you know, she definitely deserves the kudos, and hopefully she will continue to get good songs.
Okay, let's talk about the performances. You know, I've watched a few performances before recording, and I was complaining, okay, about Soyeon Young. I love her song Anymore, and I loved it. But then when she performed it live, oh my god, my ears. And when she performed Airplanes with B.O.B., oh my god. Please. And you
part
were
the problem, like
saying
said,
something about the range, her vocal range?
Yeah, she's, when she sings in her lane, she's quite a good vocalist, but she's very limited. Yep. So, unfortunately, Anymore is out of her range, so she sounds terrible singing it live.
Why? What happened? Okay.
And I think Airplane is also way out of her range.
Oh, before I forget, you know this Kush thing with her producing outside of YG?
Yeah.
Apparently Kush is out of YG now or something. I've read somewhere. Trawling the gossip sites, but I've read in one of the comments that Kush is out of YG because he was probably involved in GD's marijuana thing.
Probably. Yeah. The guy's name is Kush. Of course he was.
There you go. I'm not sure though if that's true.
That may just be fan speculation because nobody seems to leave YG unless it's over music. That's the only reason people leave. Like, okay, you're not promoting me properly, not getting any exposure whatsoever, I'd be better off in another company. And it's like, you're probably right.
But then again,
see you later.
Look at Kush, though. I mean, he hasn't 3D performed, but he's been producing for YG, right?
And yeah, he's made a lot of hit songs for them.
And it's the first time he's produced outside of the company. So there.
But don't forget, Brave Brothers, it took... Well, that's probably a horrible example because he left the company too.
It took
him a long time before they let him produce for someone else. I think Son Dambi's debut song, Bad Boy.
Sounds like Last Farewell.
Yeah, because all of his songs did. That was the first song he made for someone outside of the company. Then they made the song. They made the song for Battle.
Mm-hmm.
Battle. And yeah, that was pretty much it. Like, that was like their last song, more or less.
Mm-hmm.
Like, none of the members are active. That's just sad. Anyway, in terms of performances, parts of the hip-hop performance stood out to me. I think overall it could have been better, especially since the microphone situation didn't seem to be kept on top of at all. So, like, people's vocals would go missing. the DJ, what he was doing, it sounded weird. I thought the dynamic duo part, where Chaser was rapping first, where Primary was playing the upright bass, that was really cool. And the guy was tap dancing. Even if that was all synced, that was really cool. I'm trying to remember if there's anyone else.
I didn't get
to
see the rap stage because we had to record, but I saw Sister stage with Troublemaker, and was good.
The Troublemaker stage was flawless.
That was good.
Guyan was good. She always is.
Mm-hmm. She was humping the table. She was good.
Mm-hmm. Anytime you're off the table, your dance is fantastic. You know? Yeah. Sisters was that was the weak point in that section, because the remix seemed off.
I liked it.
No, I don't have a problem with the remix itself, but the audio sounded off. Okay. And then they sounded like none of their microphones were on. Mm. So
what else did I I watched a bit backstage, and was Taeyang rapping?
He was rapping.
Wow. I thought my eyes were deceiving me.
Top rap first in his best M Bison glow in the dark outfit.
Pink! Oh my god, pink. Okay.
He had a cape too. Then I think GD did a tiny little bit, and then Taeyang came out and he was rapping that whole part.
That was interesting.
They both were new verses, I think. I don't think they were just doing his. And then Seungri came out and he danced, and then it changed to Fantastic Baby.
And did you notice G-Dragon's hair? It was blonde at the beginning, and then did his hair color change?
He probably put a wig on, or a lighting made it look a different color.
Okay.
But, Daesung's hair was, blue.
Yeah.
Just, you went 6 years without doing anything to this boy's hair.
Now you make it blue.
Now you're doing crazy things 6 years later.
Big Bang stage was okay. I mean, as expected. Yeah. as expected. Big Bang is good, okay? When it comes to performing live, I mean, they must be used to it by now because of their performances all over the world, their concert tour. And what else? Oh, at the first part of the show, I think it was when Song Joong Ki was singing. I was like, he sings? Okay. With GD sort of rapping? Okay. And I mentioned earlier that he sounds like CL. Or CL sounds like him.
CL sounds like him.
Are they trained to rap that way?
Yes. They don't do... there's nothing unique about their rap styles. It seems like they just do whatever the rap coach tells them to do.
Who's their rap coach?
I don't even know. And that just becomes their style. I would assume it's one of the Jinushan dudes or someone who was in One Time.
Okay. But it was so freakish because look at that. He really sounds like CL. And I just noticed that because, CL loves rapping in English. Mm-hmm. And then when GD was doing his thing in English, I'm like, I'm looking at a male CL.
Uh-huh. Now you finally joined all the people who think that way.
Yeah.
And it doesn't help that Zico, who raps in hip-hop stage, he leads it off. He gets a lot of comparisons to G-Dragon, even though they're probably entirely unwarranted. And he looks like CL, which makes it even weirder.
Oh my god, I didn't realize that.
He's a physical combination of this G-Dragon-CL dynamic.
Now...
So you're welcome. You can have that image in your head.
God, please take that image off my head now. And speaking of Zico, oh my god, we should have mentioned this, but apparently he's dating Wayang.
Yeah, that came out.
God.
Well, I guess we'll just wrap with this, because Wayang is the one that had the problem, right? Because they're twins, and I don't even know anymore. I think she's the one that was in Tiara.
Yeah.
There was some hinting that, because this always happens. If there's an issue, a contract issue with a female artist, of course she's seeing someone. That's the whole reason why there's an issue. Because she wouldn't say anything. She wouldn't have the balls to say something if she wasn't in a relationship with someone. And it's possible. I don't know how long they were dating. But this was an open secret, as all things are, in Korea. But it had not been reported on in international media. Mm-hmm. And it seems as though what was going around was basically Brand New Stardom gave
an interview,
Seungri,
an exclusive
interview. And I don't know if they had an arrangement with All K-Pop, or just All K-Pop feels as though it's entitled to such an arrangement, because they usually get exclusives. Mm-hmm. And this was in retaliation for not getting the exclusive on whatever that interview was about. And they released information. Well, they said that the two of them were dating, released a little bit of proof, not much else. And everyone was like, okay, but we already knew this was going on.
I had no idea.
I mean, of course, we don't know. But people that are able to read Korean and all that, they already knew.
Mm-hmm. But that's interesting, though. So, right now, in international sites like All K-Pop and Soompi have the power to release stuff like that.
Yeah, they could just tell us, honestly, whatever they want us to know.
Yeah.
And the other websites don't have the resources or the manpower to, like, get all the information. And, of course, companies want to protect certain information because it will damage them, not just in Korea, but across the world. And, like, you don't want to lash out at a company like that by releasing something they want to keep private, because you wanted to have this close relationship with the companies where you can get information. Like, it's not about being, it's not about journalistic integrity at all. And no. Really, I mean, honestly, we don't need to know who people are dating. Like, we're not entitled to knowing that kind of information. So even if it was about, like, journalism, you exposing someone's personal life is not a good example of investigative journalism. Yep. That's just, like, a crappy human being thing to do. Like, what investigative journalism should be doing is exposing the working and living conditions of trainees.
That's right. I agree.
Going after people that molest their employees and so on and so forth. Like, that's the kind of stuff we need to know. That Zico and Hwayoung are in a relationship that's been going on for however long it's been going on, that they're possibly happy in. Like, we don't need that information. It's cool to know, I guess, but if it puts them in a more difficult position and puts their relationship in jeopardy, like, we don't need to know that stuff. Like, let them show up on a variety show years later joking about how, yeah, when all that stuff was going down,
we were dating. Yeah. But, you know, if it's different if that bit of news broke in the Korean media and then they just translate it. That's fine. You can translate, yep. But you broke it. You broke it. That's so unfair, I think.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate because, like, she's already in a difficult situation, and Block B is basically a small artist in a small company. Like, they don't need this kind of press either. Nope. Like, in addition to the stuff they've already brought on themselves, like, this doesn't help. And as someone that's been trying to get exclusive YouTube interviews, that's been trying to coordinate live chats and stuff like that with artists, like, this is a really dickish thing to do, and it you is. May end up shooting yourself in the foot over it, because even though Brand New Stardom is a small company compared to the bigger ones may say, well, if you would do this to them, right, and this isn't even a juicy scoop or anything, what can you possibly tell us to make us believe that you wouldn't do it to us too?
True. So true. But then again, apparently, okay, this is based on the research that I've done. Wow, this is so scientific for me. Based on the limited research that I've done, most of these companies are scrambling to work with All K-Pop and all the big international sites, because K-Pop is getting quite huge all over the world right now. And, you know, if it's All K-Pop, they have the biggest traffic. Biggest. Yep. They're the biggest English news site. So, I don't know. I really don't know. They should be more responsible if that's the case.
Yeah, but, you know, absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Yeah, true. Hey, we're not out to lash on all K-pop here. We're just, you know, saying our opinions, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Observations and stuff. Yeah, unfortunately, there isn't a bigger news site than all K-pop. And if you've been into K-pop for a very long time now, you'd know how all K-pop was in the past and how it is now. So yeah. There's a big difference in how things are being run right now. And I don't know anyone from all K-pop, like, seriously. So, yeah. Do you know someone from all K-pop?
No.
Alrighty. I'm done with that.
Okay, in conclusion, thank you for listening to episode 62 of the Always Rational K-Pop Podcast. I will try to have this out in a timely fashion. I don't know if that's possible.
Yeah, 61 isn't even out, but hey, you guys can wait, right? Oh, yeah.
I need to know that.
Yeah. TMI.
As far as I know, it's totally out.
Yeah.
As always, the main mission of our podcast is to be the friends that you may not necessarily have in your personal life to discuss K-pop with. Mm-hmm. So if you want to contact us, email address is thealwaysrationalkpoppodcast@gmail.com. We're on twitter.com/airkpoppodcast, facebook.com/airkpop, and the website itself is airkpop.com.
Yep.
That's any one of those ways you can contact us. For Dave, for Noel, and Dame Dr. Foxy Brown, thank you for listening.
That's all right. Thanks, peace everyone. Out. Have a great day. Have a great week. Great weekend, wherever you are. Bye.
Go 일어나